Graduation is a sweet occasion, but finding the perfect gift can be a bitter struggle. MMS.com has a solution. Personalized M&Ms. Just imagine the look on your grad's face when they receive a custom candy creation featuring their school's colors, name, and even their photo printed right on some M&Ms. It's a thoughtful way to celebrate their accomplishments and make the occasion even more special. Visit MMS.com to create your own personalized gifts and party favors for graduations, weddings, birthdays, and more. That's MMS.com. Use code WONDERY to receive 15% off your next order.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Welcome to the Rest Podcast number 809. I am now officially on the brand new tour, the ID10T tour. That's ID, the number 10, and T. It is going around the East Coast at the moment. I have dates in New Jersey and New York, not New York City, but in New York State, Maine, Pennsylvania. So check it out. It starts tomorrow, June 2nd, and runs until the 11th. Go to ID10T.com. Yeah, I got the .com for tickets and info. Come on out. These are smaller cities that I haven't done before. So I'm very excited. It always happens. I'll do a city and then someone will leave and they'll go, why don't you ever come to Sayreville, New Jersey? And I'll be like, I was just in Sayreville, New Jersey. Oh, can you come back next week? No, it'll probably be a little while. So I will announce more dates soon. So don't feel like I've left you out of the tour. If you're in some other part of the country, those dates will be popping up again in the late summer and the fall. I have Comic-Con this summer, and then I'm getting married. So that's gonna take up a good chunk of the summer. But then in the fall, I'll be back on tour. So ID10T.com. This episode is Robert Kirkman, who created a thing you may have heard of called The Walking Dead. It's kind of a zombie soap opera, I guess, that people had very strong opinions about a couple months ago. And so it's coming back in the fall. I don't know the exact date yet, but it'll be back in the fall. Usually comes back in October. And then he has a new series called Outcast, which is about demons, and it's fucking rad. The first episode is up on YouTube now. It's on Cinemax. June 3rd, 10 p.m. is when they start showing it on Cinemax. But like I said, you can see the first episode on YouTube. Sample it! A try before you buy. That's how I watch it. I watch it on YouTube. So go watch it on YouTube and then watch it again on Cinemax. But Kirkman is one of my favorite people and someone that I've been so happy to become friends with over the years. And first and foremost, because he is a good guy. And also, he gives me the most amount of shit of any of my friends. And I love that about him. So here's Robert Kirkman on the Nerds Podcast. Matt was here for this one. Jonah Ray was not. Jonah Ray is busy writing Mystery Science Theater 3000 right now. But you should also check out his show, Hidden America, which is coming on CISO very soon. So Hidden America, CISO, S-E-E-S-O, Jonah Ray. It's really, really funny. If you go on YouTube, they put up the first episode. Hidden America went to Boston. The first episode, it's a travel show. It's a comedy travel show. But it's really fucking funny, and he's put a lot of work into it, and I'm so proud of him. This is episode number 809 with Robert Kirkman.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Dressed up for me.
I did.
You're great.
You dressed up for me too.
Hey, I'm wearing pants.
I'm wearing pants. They're just shorter than yours.
You're a liar. Those aren't pants at all.
These are shorts.
Yes. Pants. Nope, they're shorts.
They're shorts. They're pants that are short.
Is shorts short for short pants?
Short pants. Yeah, it has to be short for short pants. It sounds like a 30s term. Hey, what are you wearing those shorts for? Like, it sounds like old-timey terminology.
I can't wait to get home and put on some shorts. And I should have got one.
We're trying to decipher in that midnight meeting this morning what songs from the teens through the 30s were probably about adultery. Like, all of them, there must have been like
even
super
the 30s. There's like 1,000 songs in the 70s that are adultery. No. I'm thinking about pedophilia for some reason.
Why would you be thinking?
I don't
about
know.
That?
I don't
it
know
works
why.
In Hollywood, Chris. Everyone's thinking about it.
No, I mean,
don't you
it,
read Elijah
shocking,
Wood's comments?
There's a shocking number of songs from the 70s where it's like, she was 15, and you're like, what the heck?
Yeah, it was
but
a different
what's
time.
What's that? What's the My Sharona band?
Oh, the Knack.
The Knack. All their songs are about underage girls.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, listen to the lyrics.
That.
They're crazy.
I never listened to them that closely.
Oh, yeah. My Sharona is disturbing.
It's still a hoot when Ringo Starr sings, you're 16. You're beautiful and you're mine.
But maybe he was thinking of himself as the...
Maybe it's just like a friendly thing.
Yeah. You're my personal assistant that I'm giving a career to early.
Too young.
Okay. So anyway, I'm here to promote pedophilia.
No, you're not.
Doesn't need any promotion, Robert. You can get out.
What are you promoting?
It's already huge.
What are you promoting, Outkast? What are you promoting, Outkast? I watched Outkast.
Did you know?
Yeah, because Cinemax put the first episode on YouTube.
They did. I believe it is still on YouTube.
Which was a great idea, actually.
Seems pretty cool.
To pull people in.
It's good people like that stuff. It's all about getting people to subscribe to the Cinemax. So if you're listening to this, please subscribe to Cinemax.
This ain't your daddy's Cinemax, which was about waiting until your parents were asleep to see softcore pornography in the 1980s.
They're cleaning up their act, man. It's a rebranding. It's a new Cinemax.
I did not see any softcore pornography in Outkast.
No.
It did not seem to be.
We are burying that in the fifth episode.
There you go.
So you just
got to get through it.
Yeah. By the fifth episode, it's just wow, wow, and then, oh, God.
Where are you?
Called it a favor, and they sent Amelia Clark over to... take off her top again.
No, it didn't happen.
It's all one big happy family. It's
she good. Signed the worst contract. just show up in all these shows.
I'm not sure here. That's true.
Straight
sure that's
Banshee true. This week. Oh God,
that's still on. Jeez, yeah.
They're
come
bringing
on.
It back.
All right. Dream on. What? That's getting rebooted.
Man, last night's episode of Girls was amazing. Amelia Clark showed up.
It's crazy.
It's just crazy.
Where are you in your creative life at the moment between The Walking Dead's and Outkast and the comics and Skybound?
It's all just a big soup at this point. So, I don't know. We're filming season 7 of Walking Dead and working on the writing and all that kind of stuff. But we're, you know, knee deep into it at this point. I think we're filming our third episode of the season.
Is it a runny soup?
I don't keep
or
track.
Like a thick soup?
It's a thick soup.
It's a stew. The soup you eat with a fork is what it is.
It's a chili.
It's more of a chili and a
beans.
Meaty stew.
How many alarms are we talking on this chili?
Different
four
kinds
alarms.
Of,
whoa!
Kinds
of four alarm chili.
Four alarms.
Guy Fieri's gonna eat it. He's gonna shit his guts out on food TV. I don't think I've ever experienced the amount of vitriol after the season 6 finale.
Oh, yeah. That happened.
And you took it very well, and your AMA, I felt like you answered it very respectfully, and it was interesting to see, like, a backlash to the backlash of people starting to go, all right, guys, let's all just... You know, for like the people who are still angry, like, okay, let's just take a breath, you know, like let's just take a breath.
It's funny watching it cycle through the internet because the first day it was like, I hate you, I hope you die.
Oh yeah.
And then it's like, how dare you do that to me? And then hold on, Matt.
I'm sorry.
I'm talking.
Keep going.
But now it's gotten to the point where it's like, I don't know what those guys are talking about. I loved it. And it's like, really? Where the heck were you guys? So it becomes cool to hate it. And then it becomes cool to love it because so many people hate it, and you're like, no.
It's just the counter.
Yeah.
It's just the constant backlash. But I've never.
It's pretty great.
It actually, I got to be honest, it actually shook me up a bit for a few days where because I was not expecting. And my first reaction was to kind of go, because I got so much anger during the shows of people like, fuck you. Like those persons, like, you should fucking die. You shouldn't have a job anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
How can you be on that show sucking those guys' dicks like that when you know that people were mad at me. So, like, you need to, like, they were like, you need to admit this was the worst thing that's ever. I'm like, I'm not admitting anything. Like, I don't agree with you. And so it was a lot of like AMC's hand is up your ass. You're a fucking puppet. I hate
all
your family.
All the things I say about you behind your back.
Yeah, I know, but we're friends. So I can, you know, like it's I appreciate it when you say it. But, and I also kind of technically work for you. But,
not at all.
I guess that's not true.
I would have fired you, but go ahead.
Let's just be honest. But I was really shaken up by it. So my first reaction was like, well, I'm going to go do this Facebook live chat and I'm going to talk to people about it. And I think the amount of punishment, I feel like not matching what, you know, like just all, everything you said, die in a fire, fuck you, I hope your family dies, all
my
that
favorites, they usually start with fat fuck, is what they usually call me.
Well,
it's
the trolls
great.
Always play the hits.
Yeah.
They don't workshop new material. Yeah. They always go right to the
end. Here's something off my new comment thread. They're always like, fuck you, fatty.
Yeah.
Or it's fake
never,
and gay.
It's never, I don't like your shoes. Ah, that one didn't really land. Well, I guess I better pull out the big guns.
I started responding to some of them just because it was fun. And so, like, there was one guy that said, you know, fuck you, you asshole. I hope you fucking die. And so I responded to him and I just said, you're not very nice. And he blocked me. And I was like, what?
Well, the weird thing is that if
one,
you,
two, three, four, block.
Most people don't really want to talk it through, and the mistake that I made was in trying to scold people for having their emotional reaction of just because I kind of said I did this long Facebook Live video where the first part was like, hey, everyone needs to like chill out. Here's the mistake I made. You know, stop being babies about this. Like, was a mistake.
Yeah.
But what I was referring to was all of the fucking die.
Babies don't like being called babies.
But fuck you, die. Like saying stuff about my fiance. Like that stuff really shook me up. So I was like, that was the kind of that was in my head for like stop being babies about this. Uh-huh. You don't need to be attacking my family and everything, you know. But
I do hate your fiance, though.
No, I appreciate that. That's fine. But
because you're mine.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, she knows that, though. She knows
Chris,
about our
Chris, you're 16. You're beautiful. Not enough for you're me. His.
But the rest of the video really was about how much I appreciated the fan base and how much I appreciated the job. And, you know, I met Lydia through because of Walking Dead and just all this. But
you're
of course,
welcome.
What got clipped out was like, Chris Hardwick calls Walking Dead fans babies. I'm like, no, just the ones who are telling me to die, you know?
Yeah.
So there was no way to, I realized what I should have said was, hey, I don't necessarily agree with this, but you're allowed to have whatever reaction you want. As soon as you've had that reaction, then we can have a conversation. But right now, everyone's very emotional. So get it out. Let it out. It's totally fine to feel however you want. It's your right. And let's talk about it afterwards. But I didn't. I jumped right into the melee, and I tried to control the conversation, and that was a dumb thing to do. I should have just let it happen. But you can't when you're being insulted, you want to naturally go, well, here are all the reasons why I feel like I don't agree. But no one wants to talk. They just want you to shut up and, you know, any way that you respond is like,
yeah. You're right, I suck. I should go die. If you need me, I'll be in this fire.
I'll be dying in this fire
with
Hitler and a bunch of other things that you also don't like that are, you know.
Well, how can I actually die with Hitler? I am Hitler.
But the interesting thing about our culture now is that first of all, I think people are very accustomed to binge watching, so people don't like to wait for things. And then secondly,
well, it's not even binge watching. Like, what do you wait for these days? Like,
almost
you want to watch Outkast, we just put it on YouTube.
Yeah, it's
you know,
right
it's
there.
Like I don't even have to wait till the premiere. You know?
People put all the episodes up.
Live sporting events.
You got to wait.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Yeah, but it's there's a lot of when people write about they watch an episode of a show and they go, well, this is fucking dumb. And it's not just Walking Dead. It's like all the big ticket shows, Game of Thrones, all of them. And people go, this is fucking stupid. Why did – there was no reason that they had to do this way. And then you go, well, you can't say that. Like all these – especially bloggers, which really I would expect more from the journalists to know – you don't have enough information.
How dare you call them journalists?
I just think you don't have enough information to say why something happened on a show until you've seen the entire series. And if it doesn't pay off or if it doesn't make sense, then you can go, this thing in this one episode, they didn't need to do it that way.
Yeah.
But until you've seen every episode, you can't know why things happen yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like it's fine to complain. If you hate that episode, it's totally fine. But I mean, you're right. You know, people may watch season 7 and go, oh, that cliffhanger was totally the right thing to do. Season 7's totally awesome. Wouldn't have been the same if they hadn't done it that way. I'm so happy now. Right. Or 5 years from now, we could be looking back going, man, that was the beginning of the end. We really should have done that cliffhanger. That was a total mistake. And all these people could be right. But we don't know right now. You know, we'll just have to find out.
We shouldn't have had Negan jump over that shark on the motorcycle. That was a real bad idea.
So you've seen the premiere of season 7, too?
Hang on. That sounds like a fucking great idea.
Well, he is kind of a murder Fonzie.
It's been pitched.
But I talked to Gimple about it the week after the dust had settled.
Whoa, humble brag.
And it's not really a humble brag at all. We're friends. We're all...
Oh, you don't think it's a braggy thing to be talking to Mr. Gimple? You don't think he's
Mr. Gimple. All right. And he said to me very sincerely, just, you know, not...
He said, fuck off.
Yeah, he said, fuck off. Why do you talk about our show after our show?
If you really work for us, you'd be fired.
Kirkman, I've been holding Kirkman back as long as I can. He really wants you gone.
That's the thing people don't know is as soon as Talking Dead ends, Gimple and I just walk off set. We never speak
again. You never speak again. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing that's funny is seeing how certain people were for why things happened. Well, this is just because the network did blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. That's annoying.
And they not knowing, like, that's not how it works. The network doesn't tell you guys what to do. You guys run the show how you run the show. And, you know, and Gimple said very sincerely, I just hope people give season 7 a chance. This was planned the whole time. There's a reason that we did it this way. Was it a misstep? I don't know. We don't know yet, but possibly. But I also feel like knowing what's coming up in season 7, I just hope people are patient and wait till October.
Yeah, guys, calm down. They're gonna get Picard back from the Borg. It's not the end of the world.
He's gonna be okay.
They're gonna get him back.
Locutus back?
Well, it's yeah. I mean, that's deep inside of him.
And he'll never be the same.
Never be the same. But do you, you know, you feel you because you kind of alluded to the fact in the AMA like. Maybe it was a mistake. I don't know. How do you feel about it now?
Well, I think that people are upset about it. So to a certain extent, whether I agree with the fact or whether I agree with why they're upset or not, I have to recognize that a ton of people are upset. Now, I don't know if that's like 5% of the audience that seems like 100% of the internet or 90% of the internet or whatever. But I have to admit, yeah, people are upset. So, you know, was it a mistake? I don't know. People are upset. Could have been. Maybe. Like, I have no idea. We'll find out if our ratings plummet on season 7 if it was a mistake. You know, like, we'll find out. But, like, I stand by it. I like it. I think it's cool. I think the payoff is there. I think when people see the premiere of season 7, they'll get a sense of why we did what we did, and hopefully it'll be worth it. But I understand that that gap between seasons is painful. You know?
It is. It's a lot of months.
And people seem to really have a hard time with it.
When I first saw it, my first reaction was like, oh, I really wish I mean, this, my genuine reaction was, oh, man, I really wish I knew who it was. Oh, well, I guess I'll find out. Like, I wasn't – I felt that initial like, oh, I really – oh, okay. But, you know, you got the point of view and I got it. And it didn't – I legitimately had nothing to do with the fact that I work for AMC, but no one's ever going to believe that because they pay me. So – but it really didn't – I didn't feel like as a fan, like, fuck this forever. But I do believe, you know, it's the only time that I've seen a storyline from the comics so profoundly affect how people viewed the show. That issue 100 was so pivotal for so many people. And I guess that's one of the things about that Walking Dead has not really ever had to deal with was the kind of adapting for television. Because you guys sort of threw that – you kind of, to a degree, pitched that out the window early on and said we're going to kind of do this our own way.
Yeah.
But that was the one thing.
What if he swings the bat and just knocks Rick's hand off?
I had a pitch. Like if you really want to make people mad, he'd go to – you know, the bat goes to swing back and you think it's going to be, you know, let's say Glenn. And he swings and he turns and it just hits some Alexandrian that you've never seen before. But everyone acts like he's been there all the time. Like, not Gary! And then you cut in a
montage. God
damn
it, Gary!
Just you Photoshop in this dude, Gary, who's been there the whole time. That no one.
See,
no
that's
one
the kind of thing that makes me certain that the season 7 premiere will pay off for people. Because that is the kind of thing that we're doing. Now, I saw somebody on Twitter today that said, why are you guys so sure that Negan actually killed somebody? He said he was going to beat the holy hell out of somebody. Like, that doesn't mean he's going to kill somebody. So maybe we come back and we don't kill anyone.
Yeah.
That's not true. We were killing
people. We actually kill someone. But, actually kill someone. But it's
just somebody dies.
It is crazy that there was kind of a bloodlust for it. You know, it's like, yeah, just fucking kill someone.
Yeah.
It just became the Purge all of a sudden.
Which is funny because it's hard to gauge the Walking Dead audience because you know, 1 minute they're like, please don't kill anyone. And the next minute they're like, why didn't you show us who we killed?
Right.
But I guess those two things don't really equate. But I don't know.
But I kind of feel like in a way the show kind of got dinged for – and I think it was sort of the culmination of
– what did we get dinged for, Chris? This is real Hardwick. This is like
– real. Not, I mean dinged by some of the fans who are angry is because – you know, there was experimentation with different ways of telling story this past season. Yeah. I thought season six was really creative with the way the storytelling. I mean, how do you keep a show fresh? How do you keep telling this, you know, a story in a different way six seasons in? I feel like you guys did that. And, you know, but with Glenn not dying and then Glenn having a lot of close calls and then and people having to wait those three episodes, they thought Glenn was dead. The funny parts is going, they're just fucking with the audience. Like, well, but doesn't a show kind of do that? Doesn't it fuck with your expectations and keep you on the edge? And
like, would you prefer a show where you knew exactly what was happening every moment of...
Those would be called spoilers, and then you'd be very upset. So,
That's why I watch Kitchen Nightmares.
Yeah. Because you know exactly what's going to happen. It's very... I watch a lot of HGTV when I want just low-impact story arcs where I know, like... Yeah, you know, these screen doors didn't show up, but it's probably going to work out in the end. You know,
I love Survivor, but, you know, that show's at its best when things don't go the way they're supposed to go. Sure. A challenge goes weird or the voting at the end doesn't go right. I'll stop talking about Survivor.
No,
I think I saw your eyes roll into the back of your head.
Is it still on?
Oh, yeah,
yes,
totally.
Of course it's on.
Crazy. It's huge.
Do you think that was a whole bit?
Yeah.
No, he really watches Survivor.
I didn't realize it was still on.
Bachelorette just started. Let's do it, guys.
Season 100 just ended. I don't know what season it's on, but it's been going for a while.
But I think maybe people, it was just sort of bottled up from the season of, you know, of not knowing stuff or not knowing things in the way that they wanted to know those things. And I just the Negan storyline in particular is such a powerful shift in the comics because it really does, it completely takes off. It's like, it's amazing to get 100 issues into a comic and then, holy shit, it's just taken this insane turn. And it's now newly engaging in a whole new way. And I guess people just kind of had this way that it was should have played out in the show. And this didn't meet those the way that they saw that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, we could have ended the season the way we did in the comic with, you know, showing exactly who we killed. And, you know, we could have had the last shot be, you know, Negan standing over Carl's head all bashed in.
wait, what did you just say?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You just said
I apologize.
Carl...
Anyway, whichever one.
No, but you just said.
What a dream.
No, it's all fine. But anyway.
Matt, you stop it.
What?
Sorry.
Stop that, Matt.
You don't like the Carl? That's a shame.
He already lost an eye. They're not going to kill him.
One more eye.
And it didn't look...
Or maybe it's the lack of an eye that made his head, his skull cave in so
God
easily.
God damn it.
Who knows?
Yeah, built-in crumple zone. He's like a Tesla. His skull is like a Tesla.
It's good.
You guys!
He survives. His skull's like a Tesla, Chris.
It's like, wow, your brain's in good shape.
This is off the charts for safety.
Yeah.
Have you thought about playing football?
Yeah. That's why Negan chose him.
Wait, what? I mean, this is crazy.
Or whichever one it is.
But I will say there's been something...
Maybe it was Carol.
Pretty amazing about it, which is I was shooting something in a rural town in Northern California. It was just like a small town with just like a small town square, a diner, you know.
Yeah.
There was a barber shop, and there was like an older barber kind of leaning outside his shop. I guess he didn't have any clients that day in that small town.
Did you go point at him and laugh for being poor?
Nope. I know you would. I don't know what his financial situation was.
Just kidding.
I was walking across the street, passing this old guy leaning at the barbershop, and he just screams across the street, I think it's Glenn!
Oh,
and it was just the best, because I never would have expected this from this guy.
He said, now put on some shorts!
Put on some shorts! And get a haircut, hippie! Trim that beard! But, yeah, I have a lot of money. You wouldn't know to look at me, but I got a lot of money. You tell Matt Meyer I got a lot of money.
Everything you need in here is two bits.
Listen to my adultery songs.
You guys let me know when you're done.
Okay, we're done.
And see. Actually, Robert, could you leave for a little while? We want to
Matt and I want to be alone.
Explore this town,
please.
I'm jealous.
Who else is there? Who runs the diner?
Just I actually ate at the diner. It was real good.
I'm sure it was.
Real good.
What, did you get a Benedict's?
Oh, no,
yeah. There's not a lot of diners you go to where you're like, that was a horrible experience.
No,
but maybe I just like eating garbage.
Are you eating garbage?
Preach.
No.
You eat pretty great. Healthy.
I'm doing my best.
But just the
got to be around to write those 1,000 issues of Walking Dead.
It was your idea to never end it. I don't know what to say.
Every time I eat a cheeseburger, I'm like, there goes 10 issues.
There it goes. Just shortening my lifespan.
Yep.
But I honestly have enjoyed the conversation because people do run up to me on the street and they go, who was it? And I go, I legitimately don't know who it was. Here's who I think it could be, but I don't know. But it's created
who
a lot
do you
of...
think it, you say who you think it could be?
Yeah, I say who I think it could be.
Who could it be?
I think it could be Abraham. I think it could be Abraham because I'm trying to – but I have a couple of different thoughts. I'm trying to understand where Negan might be coming from. So my first thought is maybe he takes out Abraham because he's the biggest guy and that kind of hobbles him at the knees if he just takes out the biggest guy. He could go Glenn if you're going traditional. But then I could also see him – but then there was a minute where I was like,
school picture
maybe
background.
It's Maggie. Maybe he takes out Maggie.
I just think hopefully there's a lot of people reading – I mean not hopefully, but there's probably a lot of people reading this that haven't read the comic. And so they're like, maybe it's Glenn because it's traditional. Like what? What is he talking about?
Well, as you know, it's tradition to kill the Asian guy.
No. I just mean because of the
– No, as you are aware.
No. So,
because that's who it is in the comics.
That's how it is in the comics.
Spoiler alert for people who haven't read issue 100.
At this point,
yeah.
You know, I'll put a little spoiler thing at the top. If you haven't read the comics, we talk about some of the comics.
It's fine,
but yeah. So
Andrea dies next issue.
Wait, what?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, that's crazy.
Maybe.
Or is he? I don't know.
I still keep feeling like there's a Madison Clark connection to somewhere. I feel like even though you've said the shows probably won't ever meet Fear and. I almost kind of feel like Madison's maiden name might be Dixon or Grimes or so. I feel like she could be an Andrea sister maybe. I feel like there's a connection in there somewhere.
Keep writing your fan fiction.
God damn it. She's Southern though. It's too much of a coincidence.
Yes, Chris. They're in a very popular folk group called the Andrea Sisters.
The Andrea Sisters. Yeah. Singing about adultery songs. Yeah. But I go through every day, I could be this person or it could be this person, but I could see it being this person. Or it could be Maggie if he were to take out, because health-wise, she's the weakest physical member of the group at the moment.
Like a mercy kill.
Or to really show, like, this is why you don't fuck with me, I will murder this, you know. So I honestly, I don't know. I don't think it's Carl, though. That's one person I'm pretty sure it's not. Or Rick. Pretty sure it's not Rick.
You're going to be surprised.
What?
No, it's fine.
That's what's crazy. That you just...
Huh?
Well, I don't know.
Playing it fast and loose on the podcast here. If you had me on the Talking Dead couch, I'd be a little bit more together.
You mean just tighter
yeah, lipped. Yeah. But now I'm just like, it's Carl. Whatever.
You know that's going to make like all the like the fan vlogs.
And stuff. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Because I'm probably lying, but who knows?
It's funny watching people dissect all the metadata of like, Steven and Norman helped someone in a car wreck, so I guess it can't be either one of them, you know?
Yeah.
Please don't ever kill Daryl. You know I'm going to – please don't.
I am just going to do it just to mess with you.
Please don't say that because then I'll get blamed for it. I'll get fucking blamed for it. You don't understand. You know what I realized after season 6? I'm the customer service desk for Walking Dead. I'm customer service.
That's why I got to do it, man.
I'm the person that you yell
that's
at
why
when
it
you're
was
unhappy
Daryl.
Because they can't yell at you or AMC.
Yeah, it's fun though.
I guess it is fun. I happily accept it. I love it. I really do. I mean,
nobody told you to go and get super famous.
I'm not super famous.
It's not my fault you're getting yelled at on the street over Walking Dead.
No, I'm not. I don't mind it either. I mean,
with you at midnights and your handsome beards.
You have the same handsome beard.
Yours
is better, though. It's fuller.
It's not the same. Is it fuller?
Yeah,
I think
it is.
It's just older.
No.
There's a lot of crust mixed in with the hair because it's been around for so long.
You don't have any of the white. I got the white stripes right here.
I have a couple, but they're
back together. And on
they're
Chris's
back together.
Face.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a little jack right here.
Meg White over there.
Yeah, Meg White over here on the temple. But it is kind of amazing to be a part of a thing, a cultural thing.
Yeah, and they couldn't have done it without you, Chris.
It's really nice to be a part of a culture. I'm just not even going to.
Are you reading my mind?
To be a part of a cultural thing that has really – that's just rare. This is just a rare thing to be a part of, particularly now when so few things like catch.
Yeah.
And become sort of universal.
I mean, you guys
pretty remarkable.
Can beat football, which is very impressive.
It's a little unnerving.
Beats football.
So what does your day look like? Like, what is a day? What is a typical day when everything's firing? You know, when Fear is on and Talking Dead's in and Outcast in the comics. What's your typical day?
I mean, you know, I have three writers' rooms going at all times pretty much at this point. Like, there are some gaps here and there, but there's never more than, like, one down at a time. Like, we started the Outcast We started Outcast season two in the gap where Walking Dead wasn't going, and then Fear the Walking Dead's been going, and there's not much. I don't know. It's a whole thing. But I don't know. I mean, I wake up at 5. I do a little bit of exercising, as they say, and then I try to get to work at like 7:30 or 8, and then do a little comics in the morning, take a bunch of phone calls. Every now and then I'll pop into a room if I have
to. Your kids.
I usually work like 8 to 5, so, you know, or 8 to 6, but you know, it all fits in.
That's not bad.
I'm not a showrunner. If I were a showrunner on any of these shows, I'd be working more, but just, you know, executive producing, giving notes, you know, being on the phone with showrunners and talking story over and things like that. It all seems to even out. I mean, there's a few nights where I have to do catch-up work and things like that, but I'm at my breaking point. Don't get me wrong. I can't. I'm not looking to do any more shows.
One more piece of straw on the pile.
Yeah.
I wish you literally just mean ketchup work, like you're making your own homemade ketchup.
Yeah, that's a hobby of mine. Have you had like commercial ketchup? It's disgusting.
Oh, I think it's delicious. I hate bullshit artisanal restaurant ketchup. We have house made ketchup, and it's garbage. Every time it's garbage.
You just
give me some.
You're
time.
Just pissing on my soul, man. I just tell you. It's my passion, ketchup.
it's pretty amazing that I don't want to downplay the fact that everything that's happening right now is the most fortunate things that can happen to all of us in this business.
It's a little weird, yeah.
And so even the gripes, you still got to take a step back and go, well, this is happening because people care about this thing that's very popular that you get to make and that you get to be associated with.
I didn't mean to be complaining. I'm happy to be at my breaking
point. Yeah, yeah.
My God, it's where everyone wants to be. I'm not past it.
I remember when my breaking point was because of all the silence in my life.
Yeah, I remember those days.
How long ago was that for you?
I don't remember.
Yeah, see?
I remember. But no, I had hard times. The thing is, and it's really unfair out here because I had all my hard times in comics. Like there were times where I was, you know, struggling to make my mortgage and was going in debt and had no work and, you know, couldn't do anything. And then my comics career luckily like took off. And then, you know, my comic gets turned into a TV show and it's like, oh, hey, it's a super popular TV show. It's like the number one show on cable. It's the highest rated cable show in history and like whatever. And it's just like somebody called me up and was like, hey, we're going to turn this into a show. And I was like, great. And like some people, I have people now, like, you know, being out here and stuff that'll ask me like, well, how do I break in as a TV writer? And I'm just like, well, you write a comic book and it becomes really successful and then someone turns that into a show and then you just work in the writer's room on that show and then you're a TV writer.
Make it about zombies.
Yeah, make it about zombies. It's like, I don't deserve this. I feel like a complete pretender. It's terrible. But it's nice. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, I certainly did not pay my dues in the TV world at all. And it's, you know, it's nice, but I don't know. I feel a little uncomfortable about it sometimes, you know, talking to other TV people, you know, just because I've never worried about what it was like to get a show canceled. You know, I've never like sat there like waiting for that call. Like, is it going to go? Is it not going to go? Is it coming back? Like things seem to be going well so far. But I didn't do anything really to deserve that.
Well, yeah, but you did work hard. I mean,
who cares?
Fuck you, and you should die in a fire. Oh man. But you do,
that evens it out.
But you do, you know, you do because you care.
What I'm saying is I feel so lucky I get uncomfortable by it sometimes, you know? Like I definitely am aware of it and, you know, try to acknowledge it at all times and try not to let anybody hear me complain when I complain about my good fortune.
And when people get upset, part of it is that you really, on a human level, you just you don't want people to be unhappy with something that you're doing. So you know, it's upsetting to the extent that someone walks up and goes, hey, this thing you did really bums me out. And then you feel empathy and you go, well, I feel terrible. I don't want you to feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, I feel bad. And now you're yelling at me and just on a human to human level. But I do think, you know, if you had the ability to take a step back and go, well, none of this matters because I have a successful TV career, I feel like, well, you'd be a sociopath.
Yeah.
Like, it's good to still care. It's good to still be affected by those things. And when people say things that you do take them to heart, as opposed to what I think some people expect is like, why do you give a fuck? You have a well, because I'm a person and I care about what you think. And
well, that's another thing behind all of it. I think people that complain about anything in any of the shows, especially the season 6 cliffhanger, there's always this like air of like, these guys are fucking with us. They don't like us. They're not, like, trying to work for us. They don't give a shit. Like, there's always this assumption that the people that are working on the things that you like don't like you or don't respect you or aren't
or just want to piss you off.
Yeah, or just want to piss you off. And it's like, we sit down and we analyze those responses and we're like, well, you know, why are they reacting this way? Like, what do we do wrong? Like, we definitely do that. I said in my AMA, like, Scott Gimple loses sleep over trying to make sure that the fans are happy. I do sometimes too, but Scott Gimple for the most part, we want to do right by the fans. Like, we are immensely appreciative of all the support that we've gotten over the years. And we talk constantly, like, you know, is this going to work? Is that going to work? I mean, and every single thing that we do in the job is to make the fan base happy. Sometimes we misstep, but we're always trying to do something good.
Yeah, I mean, even if you were just selfish people and you didn't actually care, it wouldn't behoove you to try to piss off the fans.
Yeah, it's like none of us are actually like sitting on yachts, like phoning things in, going, "Who cares? Bring me more wine or whatever." You know, like we're in it. We're
we didn't figure out Negan's gonna kill you. Nah, fuck it. Who cares? We'll just do it next year. I don't think it was.
No, that's not it.
The way Scott had imparted to me was that it was something that had been planned for a very long time. You guys had this mapped out for quite a while.
I mean, we started talking about it after the comic book came out. You know, it was always anytime we'd be in that came out, I think, during season 3 or right before season 4. And, we would always be in the room and it would just kind of come up like, oh, and we could be building to this and it could be this character. Oh, it could be this or this character. And, it was probably in the middle of season 5 or towards the beginning of it where we actually, you know, nailed down like, oh, no, it's going to be this. And then we just started building to it from there. But I mean, this scene has been something that we've been aware of and known that we've been building to it for years. So yeah, a lot of work went into that.
And did you feel sweaty about going in to start season 7? Like, okay, this really better be good to pay off. Or is it just like sticking to the...
Well, I mean, we pretty much had it set in stone what we were doing before the episode aired because we start the next season always in January. So
right.
We're pretty well into the show before the last half of the season before it airs. So, I mean, there wasn't any like, oh my God, I hope we pulled this off. I mean, we're pretty confident that we're doing something cool. And it's the same thing that we had planned before we saw the reaction. And again, that's another case of seeing the reaction and going, oh, whoo, great. We didn't do that thing that they think we're going to do that they hate, you know?
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of speculation. Well, now that they've done this in the finale, this is what season 7 is going to be. And it's like, that's usually never true. So we're pretty confident. But I'll tell you, filming has been, a little rough just because of everything that's happening and just how heavy the material is. And, Andrew Lincoln, who is a bit of a method actor, you know, has to, like, stay in that mode to, like, hone his craft and all that stuff. And he's,
but it makes
he's,
it real fun to be around.
Yeah, I think he's losing a lot of weight.
Yeah, I was gonna email him a picture. Someone had this person who draws on currency, like, you know, characters based on whoever's on whatever bill, made a pretty great Andy Lincoln out of Abraham Lincoln.
Oh.
And it's fantastic. And I was going to email it to him a couple days ago. And I thought, maybe now's not the time to send him a jokey $5 bill.
Cheer him up.
I don't know.
Cheer him up.
I just didn't know if he...
I'm always sending him pictures of his feet in flip-flops because he wears flip-flops on set all the time. And so, anytime I'm on set, I take pictures of him and then I send them to him later.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm like, look at you ridiculous human being wearing flip-flops on set.
Or are you a
set.
Foot guy? Is that more what it's...
A lot of secrets coming out.
Oh, Tarantino, huh?
Tarantino's got nothing on me when it comes to feet. Let me tell you that.
But it...
I'm just kidding. I think all feet are gross. Go ahead.
But this kind of heaviness of...
For the record.
I just want everyone to know, please don't send me pictures of your feet.
All feet.
You're going to get 10,000 pictures of feet.
That's the one thing he corrects on the show. He says all this bullshit. The one thing he bothers to stop down and correct is all
feet. No, my weight problem is just because I don't want to see my feet.
It's a weight solution.
Every now and then I drop some LBs and I start to see the toes creeping out and I'm like, oh boy, order a pizza stat.
But you know, I think what a lot of people don't understand is that when you do the finales of Talking Dead for the finale of Walking Dead, you always come in and you go, oh, fuck, I got to remember what happened in this episode because we're already so far into the next season. By that point, you've already been on the next season for like 3 months.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is the timeline isn't exactly the way people think of it. And I remember during that finale episode where it seemed like people were very angry. And I said to you guys halfway through the show, like, you know, I really think we should talk about this because people are upset. And so can you talk about why you did it this way? And I thought Scott gave a really nice answer, and of course it wasn't satisfying to a lot of people. But
I give a good answer too.
I thought you gave a good answer
too.
No, it's
fine. You just give Scott all the props.
I think
that's
Scott
fine.
Gave a good answer.
Well, his
fine.
Answer was obviously
Wait,
better.
You were on the show?
No, I'm coming over this table
what
right
are you
now.
Talking about?
No, I gotta. I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to hand it to you because I think you get a lot of flack online for being like a AMC company man and people calling you a puppet as you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah.
And you know we're sitting on Talking Dead, we're doing a live show, and you're like, hey, I want you guys to talk about this uncomfortable thing that you might not want to talk about, because we're not on Twitter, we didn't know, and you just like come over and you're like, yeah, it seems like people online are a little mad about this finale, so I'm gonna make you talk about that. Is that cool? And, you know, that's not pleasant. and you know, sure. You didn't have to do that.
But
you did that because you care. And you did that because it seemed like an important thing that needed to be discussed. And, you know, you shouldn't get so much crap.
Well, I just think...
You're a good dude, Chris Hardwick.
I appreciate that. But
you got nice feet.
Wait, I thought you said you didn't.
Interesting.
Here come the pictures of the feet.
I don't know what to believe.
Well, I think people... Because I'm never critical of the show in the way... Like, I don't come on and go like... Why the fuck did they do this? And how come this? And
what if you were?
I just
you're the
I
worst
wish
host.
You would do that for one episode.
You know, I'll
just
tell
one
you.
Episode. Well, fans,
forget
what
this.
A
what
piece of shit they aired tonight. Like, let me tell you what. We're gonna talk about it live. Coming back, and
you
then just, it's
just you just kind
of
like
hope you like turds because here we got a whole lot of them.
You just come out like Jerry Lewis in the 27th hour of the telethon.
We got Norman Reedus and Greg Nicotero on the show, and I'm gonna cuss them the fuck out because I hated it.
But I don't. But I'm not that way about anything, you know. Because I honestly, I feel like you can look at
nothing.
I'm really not, except for bad tech support. Oh, I get upset at, you know, or traffic. But I honestly, you know,
not web traffic. Please go nerdist.com.
Yeah, that's right. But I honestly feel like anything has two points of view. Like you can list 10 negative things or 10 positive things about something. And mm-hmm. I feel like there's so much cynicism in the world that I kind of feel like I always want to support and figure out like, okay, why did this happen? Can we understand this better? Like rather than attacking something, like how do we understand this? Can we dissect this in a way that, you know, I just feel like people don't really care about conversation and understanding. They just want to react emotionally.
I think they just want to make America great again, Chris.
But what I also said to people is like, look, Kirkman, Gimple, they're my friends. I trust...
Don't get too far ahead of yourself.
Gimple's my friend.
Yeah.
And so... Robert is a guy that I sit next to sometimes. And so...
Or across from.
But the other thing is that, you know...
When he needs to promote something.
Exactly. But...
he's a user.
You know, because they're my friends, I trust that, you know, even if I don't fully understand why something happens, I trust that it'll pay off. Because I feel like... That's what they do. So,
how many times do people let you down?
Are you preparing me for a fall?
No. Fall? Season 7 is going to be great.
Are you? You're excited about it, then?
I really am. Yeah. I mean, I am every year. You know, every year I get to promote a show and be like, best season yet, and everybody gets to go. Really? He said that last year, but I mean it. You know, I feel like it.
Was there a season where you didn't mean it, but you said it anyway?
No. I do think that every year of Walking Dead has been progressively better, you know, each year. I think the first season's terrible. Not really.
But at the time, when he said this is the best season yet, he was being truthful.
That's true.
He was being truthful.
That's true. Well, back then I was like, man, I hope the show lasts.
What I would love to be able to do is just to take someone who has no experience in this world and just like – plant them in a showrunner position or plant them on it to like to really see how everything – to really give people an understanding about how things actually work so that they would understand it's not as – because people just kind of have very cut and dry, black and white ways that they see, well, if my understanding is a few superficial things that I've seen, so this must be all the information I need and this is definitely how it works. Like, no. You could ask those questions, you know. You could talk to people and try to understand how things work, and then kind of decide how you're going to judge it. But I just feel like there's not I just want to foster conversations. That's my whole thing, is I just want to foster conversations and try to help people understand. Even if they don't agree, at least go, okay, I don't agree with you, but I guess I understand where you're coming from.
Fine.
Do you not agree?
No, I agree. No, that sounds good. I mean, it would be nice to be able to have conversations on the internet, but who has the time, and the technology doesn't really promote that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Social media does not – I mean, Twitter does not promote in-depth conversations.
Yeah. That's actually why I really enjoyed the Reddit AMA. I mean, I actually hunted down, like, you know, the quote-unquote hard questions so that I would actually have something to, you know, fun to talk about.
Yeah.
And it was fun, you know, being able to actually, like, give, like, a lengthy response and, you know – say things.
Well, yeah, because I think
as you do,
words and such.
It's if someone took the time to ask questions instead of shouting, they'd probably be surprised. Like, oh, you'll actually get a, you know, everything. Sure. Everything happens for a reason. You might not like all those reasons, but it's not just sort of willy nilly. Like, there are definitely reasons beyond probably what you think the reasons are. And wouldn't it be great to kind of talk about it? And even if you don't agree with them afterwards, at least you had a conversation, you know, and not a shouting match.
Although shouting matches are fun sometimes too.
Do you go in search of them sometimes? Like, I'm having a rough day. I'm just going to go fight with someone on the internet.
No. I don't engage too often. It'd be too fun.
So how was the process? Mm-hmm. How was the development process for Outcast? Was it pretty?
No, I want to talk more about the season 6 finale.
Are you sure you haven't talked about it enough yet?
I think I've said enough. It was a weird process just because I sold it accidentally, which I've told the story a few times, but maybe
at a Hollywood
maybe not
pool
to you.
Party?
Yeah, I was at a Hollywood pool party, and I was like, "Where's my pants?" and someone was like, "They're over here," and I was like, "I'll give you a show for them." And
you were like, "Come on, Brian!"
I was
Singer.
Like, "Nice feet," but
nice.
Brian Singer does have nice feet. I'm not going to say how I know that, but that is a fact. Anyway.
What's the story?
Sorry.
That wasn't the real story.
I was a little thrown thinking about Brian Singer's feet.
Join the club.
But anyway. But no, I was at
Welcome to Club Foot.
Some kind of luncheon or some kind of thing for Walking Dead in between seasons 1 and season 2. And I was with Sharon Tall Liguado, who runs Fox International, who handles all of Walking Dead's international business. And, you know, we were sitting there at the thing, and she just – said, you know, hey, Walking Dead, you know, because this is between season 1 and season 2. And she said, hey, Walking Dead's doing great. You know, what are you doing next? And I was like, oh, well, you know, and I kind of, you know, I was a little green, you know, and I felt like I was at a comic book convention and, you know, my writer buddy asked me what my next project was. And so I just started like casually like, oh, well, I'm doing this thing and there's this guy, Kyle Barnes, and, you know, his mother was possessed and then, you know, he grew up and then his wife was possessed and, you know, he kind of, you know, had all this horrible stuff happen to him and he has these abilities and he doesn't know why and, you know, there's demonic possession all around him and kind of pitched the story of Outcast to her and was like, you know, I think I'm going to do this next and, you know, I really like the exorcism genre and want to kind of explore that the same way I explored the zombie genre with Walking Dead. And she just looked at me and was like, that's great. I'll take it. And I was like, what? What's going on? And I didn't know she could approve shows. I didn't know that Fox International, because of the success of Walking Dead, was looking for something else to do in the same vein that, you know, could be promoted internationally the same way that Walking Dead was promoted internationally. And so, you know, I went back to work on Monday and got phone calls and you're like, what? You sold a show to Fox? Like, what's happening? Like, you know, and then we started doing like...
And then you said, I don't know, and started crying into the phone.
Well,
what is happening?
Well, it was a weird time because I was moving to L.A. to work on Walking Dead season 2, because on season 1 I came in freelance and spent like a week in the writer's room, but I wasn't full time in the writer's room. And so with season 2 they wanted me to be involved more and they wanted me to be in the room, and so I was moving out to LA and you know, working in the room full time. And at the same time I had Fox saying, you know, that show you told us about, we need an outline, like what's going on with the show. And so Sharon, I really have to give her credit, basically beat that show out of me over the course of like 2 years, you know, with just phone calls and, you know, you gotta do something. Okay, the outline's great. Where's the pilot? You gonna write the pilot? Get us a script. And so
deadlines are good. You respond well to deadlines.
Yeah. And you know, I was a little overwhelmed because I was writing a bunch of comics and hadn't really planned to move out and be full-time in a writer's room, and I couldn't just shut down a bunch of comics. So I was writing I think I was writing like 4 or 5 comics at the time, and then working full-time on the Walking Dead show and also writing this pilot, which took a really, really long time. But once I had the pilot written and everybody liked it, then we started looking for a American network partner. And ended up that Cinemax, was in the best position for the show, and I think was the most excited for it. And you know, with their rebranding, we're not the stay up after your parents go to bed and watch pornography network.
Right.
That's not to say you can't jerk off.
No. You can totally jerk off to Outkast.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Especially if you're into feet.
Yeah.
But
it really was all feet. I did the camera never moved above the ankles the entire time.
Just wait
till someone gets a stigmata. You can fuck those feet.
Okay, man. You really don't think that's staying in.
What? Why not?
I just don't.
I don't have a problem with it. I think it's great.
All right.
I think it should stay. But I just want to be on record that I didn't say that. As long as we're not talking about Sasquatching, I am totally fine with whatever happens on this podcast.
Still exists.
Forgot about
that. Such a thing that still comes up.
Still comes up. Robert Kirkman Sasquatching.
I'm pretending I have a foot fetish to just get rid of that.
To get rid of Sasquatching.
Yeah. New thing.
Which is which was... You and Sasquatch hanging yourselves at the dawn of the zombie apocalypse.
Why are we doing this?
While the Sasquatch was jerking you off with his feet.
Why are you bringing this back?
You brought it up.
I his feet. God. I thought it was
what
just
a mistake.
Handy.
No, I think it was
what a
with
mistake.
His feet.
No. One of the drawings was the feet, but I had just said we would jerk each other off.
Right? Yeah, and it was
just as we were dying.
I still have the T-shirt.
The end of the world.
I still have the T-shirt that Damon made.
I do.
Yeah.
It's so faded.
What a weird. Now, one of the writers on Walking Dead. Good Lord. Curtis Gwynn. He's going to give me some shit for that. But anyway, so Curtis Gwynn ended up working on Leftovers. And when he met with Lindelof, I guess the drawing is hanging in his office.
Oh, that's great.
And so he didn't know the story. He didn't know anything. He just knows there's a drawing of me on Lindelof's wall
jerking
off a Sasquatch. So he took a photo with his phone and then sent it to me. And was like, dude, what is going on? So that was fun. So I had to tell that story.
Yeah, we kind of riffed this weird thing at a show that we were doing with you, at a podcast we were doing with you, and it started because the question was, what would you do in a zombie apocalypse? And you go, I'd fucking hang myself, and I would just kill myself right away. And it somehow evolved into that.
I'm sure.
Well, Joan, I think, said something about going out into the woods and trying to find Sasquatch.
I
was like, I'd do that too, but then we would jerk each other off and then we'd hang each other.
Lindelof said,
hang ourselves.
I will give someone $1,000 to draw that. And 3 people did.
Yeah.
And Lindelof paid them all $1,000 each.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the artists was like in tears because she was going to like pay off student debt or something. It was a real heartwarming, touching thing.
How did you pay off this debt? I drew a picture of a Sasquatch jerking off a rider.
We're changing lives, Hardwick. Thanks to Damon Lindelof.
And then just like a year or two after that, you were like, hey, I got to tell you, thanks a fucking lot. Now Sasquatching's the second thing that comes up when you search my name on Google.
Yes. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Robert Kirk.
It's pretty good.
Sasquatching.
And we're bringing it back.
I know we have a lot more listeners.
I'll pay
now.
Somebody $5,000 if they draw. No, I'm kidding.
No,
I'm kidding.
You got to take that. Someone, because you
taking
will.
It back. Taking it back.
You'll get like a 10. That you'll
he
be
took it back.
Broke.
He took it back. Yeah. Too bad.
I took it back.
Sorry. Took it back.
No back takes. No
took it back. Took it back. Took it back. If you want to draw me some feet, though, I'll take that.
Back to fucking a stigmata wound.
back to that, man.
Can we talk about Outkast?
Yeah, we talked about Outkast. I mean, a little. That actually is a perfect segue back into Outkast, which is about demonic possession. But the first episode was super fun, and I know it's. But it's not on. The rest of it's not on yet. So if you want to send me the episodes, I highly encourage that.
Oh yeah, I could probably make that happen.
I would love that to happen. Don't make the hand gesture.
No. We'll totally do that.
That's not. Now you're making the hand gesture again. But what was different for you about? You know, about kind of creating this new television universe. Are you looking at it that way now that you've created a Walking Dead? Are you sort of spoiled? Like, oh well, these TV universes just kind of hatch themselves.
This was a much I don't know. It was a weird one because they definitely don't. It was because I sold it accidentally before I even started working on the comic. You know, I was just telling her, oh, yeah, I'm going to write this comic soon, but I hadn't written it yet. And so I ended up kind of writing the comic and the pilot simultaneously. And so when we do Walking Dead, we're usually adapting something that to me is like 7 years old. And so I've forgotten a lot of things. And so, you know, I go back and I reread things from time to time. And, you know, I look at it in a different light because I'm not writing it at the moment. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so fine with the changes in the show, because I'm like, that bull crap I wrote 7 years ago, like that, I can do better than that, like whatever. And so that's why we're changing so much stuff. But when you're writing something concurrently, it's got its own challenges and rewards. I mean, there are a lot of times where I'd be writing the comic and one, you're insanely aware of the differences between the mediums, you know, between comics not having motion or sound and different things that television does. You have to write the same scene two different ways, which is kind of neat. You can't really ramble on very much in a comic because it just eats up page count. And right. Then your book just goes out of control size-wise. But you can fit so much into a scene in a television show, even without dialogue, you know, which is much harder to do in a comic because you can have people, you know, emote in a different way or nod or give a look or in some way indicate how they're feeling or thinking without saying anything, which is, you know, done a lot in comics, but it's very hard to do. And you have to make sure that the artist is, you know, keyed into exactly what you want. But there were times where I'd be writing a scene and I'd go, oh, you know, that's not going to fit because I only have two pages for this scene, and then I could just put that right in the show. And so that's kind of cool because I think there's probably a lot of stuff in Walking Dead that just kind of ends up on the cutting room floor and is never seen again because I'm not going to like keep notes for 7 years
right.
And then go, oh, you know, when I was writing that scene back then, I had these other two things I was going to do, but I couldn't because it wouldn't fit. So throw those in. So in that respect, I feel like, you know, hopefully there's a little bit of a benefit to Outcast because I get to take material that was going to be in the comic that I didn't even have room for, or, you know, subplots that I didn't even, you know, have time to get around to, and, you know, kind of throw them into the show, which is kind of fun.
How close are you sticking to the comics?
In some ways close, and in some ways very far. I mean, it's a little bit like Walking Dead in that, you know, there are big benchmark scenes and, you know, characters and things like that, where if you didn't adapt them, it wouldn't be the same thing. But along the way, there's going to be, you know, so much different. And, you know, Chris Black, the showrunner, you know, we've got a great writing team. Like, they're always pitching ideas and stuff. And so there's a lot of stuff that comes from them that's in the show that's not in the comics. And that stuff's all great. There's quite a bit of twists and turns in the first season if you're very familiar with the comics, or you'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. And that's going to be kind of exciting. Plus, we end on a big cliffhanger.
People love them.
It's going to be great.
People love the cliffhangers.
It's going to be great.
I like – it's Patrick Fugit.
I like to say Fugit. But I don't know. No, it's Fugit.
Fugit.
Yeah.
It's hard G.
Yes.
Yeah. Like GIF, the way I like to say it. I like him.
You mean the peanut butter?
No. That's Jif. That's Jif Robert.
Sorry, go ahead.
I like him because he's such
I like dipping my feet in peanut butter.
He's such a – wait, what did you just say?
Nothing.
Said you like dipping your feet in peanut butter.
No. What are you talking about?
Okay. So feet are going to be the third most searched for thing when people look up Robert Kirkman Sasquatching in feet. We're just going to create this weird mythos around you. This
gonna
legendary.
It's going to be great.
This legendary mythos.
All of it inaccurate, I should say. Go ahead.
But I like him.
I want there to be a section on your Wikipedia page that is feet. Personal life, career, feet.
I think that's happening right now. And if that does happen, I'm not going to have anyone take it down.
But
unless it gets really crazy.
What's really crazy? Like, how crazy would it have to?
I don't know, man.
What's crazier than?
Are we going to sit in a room
off by a Sasquatch?
No. Are we going to sit in a room right now and pretend like we know what the internet is capable of?
Well, it sounds like you're just daring them to come up with the most extreme.
The internet is the chaos theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. What can go wrong will go wrong.
Nature finds a way. Yeah. The internet finds a way. But
Jeff Goldblum's got nice feet. Go ahead.
He's got.
I bet he's got finger-like toes.
He's in, you know, I just did a thing with him a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. And he,
what thing did you do with him?
Red Chris? Nose Day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We did the Walking Dead thing for Red Nose Day. And he was there. And he looks fucking great. Like, he's got to be 60 years old. And he just.
Well, I mean, did you see him in the Independence Day trailers? He looks super awesome.
He just looks super healthy. I don't know.
Everything about that movie looks super awesome.
I can't. It's going to be ridiculous. I can't wait to see that movie that I never thought I wanted to see.
You are excited about it.
The sequel to Independence Day?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you watch the trailer?
Yeah, but I'm impressed. I'm always happy when I hear that you are excited or like something.
I like a lot of things.
Is Matt real negative about things?
Yeah, usually.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But you always know, like, when Matt really likes something, if he doesn't like something, he'll tell you. But if he likes something, it's always nice. You're like, yeah, I'm really excited about this thing.
Yeah. They better not fuck it up.
Huh. Well, or what's going to happen if they do fuck it up?
Aliens
they're already going to have your
aliens
money.
Might come.
There's nothing wrong.
God, you're right. They'll already have my money. Guys, I'm flying to Boston this weekend, and I'm really hoping I get to finally see Batman v Superman.
He hasn't seen it yet. He wants to watch it on a plane, he said, because then he'll...
Because then you'll like it?
Well, I don't know. He'll...
No, I'll be stuck. I can't get up and leave.
Oh, I see.
You can change the channel.
Without endangering the entire crew
and
the passengers.
You can change the channel on your screen.
Well, after I've already sunk $8 into this movie.
Like back to Force Awakens. The last few times I've flown, it's like Force Awakens.
Force Awakens
and
everything.
Do you know what my favorite flying movie was for a while? Was Age of Ultron. Because with a fast-forward button, that movie's fucking awesome.
You just...
I'm not kidding.
I think it's awesome without a fast-forward
button.
With
a fast-forward button, that movie is fantastic.
Why is it better with a fast-forward button?
Because you can go through... You don't need the bullshit. There's so much bullshit that doesn't need to be in that movie that if you just... If they let me get in there with Final Cut Pro... before they put that movie up, we'd be singing a different song right now.
Did you like Civil War?
I love
Did you hear
Civil War.
Age of Ultron is 62 minutes long? I tell you.
No, I could make it a brisk 95 minutes.
You know what's happening now is
I couldn't get it a minute over 92.
Because, you know, just because movies kind of there's this whole like direct VOD market that's happening now, and movies aren't necessarily at least 90 minutes anymore. Like, I've watched a couple movies that were like 71 minutes, which used to be when you used to see that you go,
that's the genre.
I haven't noticed this.
Yeah, it was one of the Duplass brothers movies was like 70 minutes.
Oh, creep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they couldn't be bothered.
Yeah. Why'd you roll your eyes?
We didn't film enough.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think they're great.
You're not a Duplass fan?
You just made the face like you were falling asleep.
Oh, I thought I was watching one of their movies.
Oh, jeez. Oh, oh,
whatever.
On.
Guys,
come
Age
on.
Of Ultron with a fast-forward button. Get on board.
I liked Creep. I thought it was a legitimately cool, funny, creepy movie. Did you see it?
I haven't seen it.
That's good.
I don't watch that shit.
You don't watch any of that shit?
No, I'm kidding. I just haven't seen it yet.
Do you watch horror?
Oh, yeah. I watch horror movies.
What are you watching late? What'd you watch?
I don't know. I watched The Witch. That was good.
Do you like The Witch?
I liked it.
Thought it was slow.
It was definitely slow.
What'd you need? Maybe a fast forward button?
Oh, hello.
Interesting.
No, I thought it was beautifully shot. I thought the concept was really cool. I loved this world that they were in. I loved the characters. And I just felt like this whole thing of like taking everyone through this hole where nothing really happens until the end. And you're like, oh, it all just, okay, all right. Like, I just wanted to see more witch shit. And I think what's happening is...
It's like you're watching Orphan Black.
I think what's happening is people are starting to get into this idea of like, they don't feel like they don't have to show you stuff. And I kind of feel like, you know, if it's about witches, I want to see witch shit. And if it's about vampires, I want to see vampire shit. Like, you don't have to suggest.
Well, in its defense, it was The Witch, not a bunch of witch stuff.
That's true. That's so true.
Robert, a bunch of double V witch stuff.
Robert has a point. Robert has a point.
You know.
No, I just want to see more spell casting. I would have wanted to see the ending happen, like, in Act 2. And then see how it plays out from there.
Well,
that's kind
of
how.
That's the beauty of fan fiction, Chris.
Yeah, I know.
Write that third act.
I did not like it. I just didn't. I was just like, oh, I kind of want it to be, you know, I kind of want it to be a little more. We watched a movie called Hush the other night. It was pretty good. If you haven't seen it, Netflix.
I haven't seen it.
It's basically about a deaf-mute writer who lives in the woods, and then this guy starts kind of stalking her while she's trying to finish a book. And
Hush is just a really good episode of Buffy. That's all I think of when I hear Hush.
It was good.
It's a great episode of Buffy.
Yeah. Are you watching anything right now? Do you watch any series?
Yeah. Well, my wife and I are finally going through the newest season of House of Cards.
Yeah.
So watching that. Love Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Best show on TV, I'll admit it. People are always shocked when I say that, and it's like, am I supposed to think that my show's the best show on TV? That's not.
Oh, you're not allowed to like other things?
Yeah, like, I
don't watch my show. I see my show all the time. Like, I don't sit down to watch Walking Dead or Fear the Walking Dead or even Outkast. They're fine shows. I've seen them, you know, but like,
they're already in your head. You already know how they play out.
They're not like real TV shows to me. They're my shows. So.
You watch them as someone who has to look at edits. And,
right.
Did you see that someone on a message board thread 5 years ago said the Hodor thing?
Oh, wow.
Like, it was crazy.
Was it George R. R. Martin?
It was not. It was not.
I'm behind on Game of Thrones. I already know. I mean, people always spoil everything for me immediately.
My God.
I don't really
watch
care,
a show.
I will. No, I do.
I will say the one episode where, spoiler alert, Jon Snow was revealed to be alive.
Yeah.
I'm in L.A., so I don't often watch the show at 6 p.m., you know,
right.
when it's airing in the East Coast. And so
you can on just, HBO Go.
No, I could, but you know, my kids are still awake, so whatever. Sometimes I'm like, I could just be a bad parent and be like, just go over there and play with an iPad and just let me watch the tits and dragons, as they say. The people start tweeting me like 6. That's how you do a cliffhanger. Or, that's how you do a fake out, jerk. Like, you could learn a lot from Jon Snow being alive, and I'm just like, oh, fuck, come on.
Come on.
Like, why are you spoiling this show for me? Like, ah, oh, I suck, I admit it. Just let me watch my show. Come on. It's like, I don't get on Twitter. I wasn't going on just reading random tweets. I was just looking at my feed, seeing if anybody was saying anything about, like, Fear the Walking Dead or something, and it was like, nope.
No, you got to stay away from social media. You know, I've had to... So,
people bring spoilers to me. That's not cool.
No, of course, but you have to know, like, you know what I say to people is, like, if spoilers are really important, don't go on social media until you've seen something, because it's probably going to get spoiled.
Well, I usually don't, but I was like, I'll just dip a toe in. Just a little bit.
Some guy puzzlingly said to me, like, so I'm just supposed to not go on Twitter until I watch something? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do.
It's so hard.
You got to take some responsibility. Yeah. Yeah. You have to take some responsibility. I haven't seen the Game of Thrones after show. I haven't seen the Game of Thrones after show.
It's a piece of shit, man. It really needs a little bit of hard work.
I appreciate that.
Everything does.
Yeah.
No, I really haven't seen it.
Have you heard about Xfinity from Comcast?
All right.
Every baseball game, he comes on my radio. And it just alarms me because I'm like, did I butt dial him?
Yeah.
No.
I did some spots for Xfinity, which is another reason why I'm a corporate puppet and I have a hand at my
hey,
asshole.
Fuck them. Take the job.
Everybody's got to pay the bills, Chris.
I do. But the funny thing about the Game of Thrones after show is that one of the hosts, Andy Greenwald, wrote an article for Grantland 3 years ago about how basically that Talking Dead was the death of television and that it was a stupefying chat show and why it was so dumb to have a show talk about a show. And
now he's hosting.
Now he's hosting Game of Thrones. So when it came out, I tweeted him and I was like, congratulations on the show. Don't let the haters get you down. And I sent him a link to his article.
What did he do? Reply?
He replied with a winky kissy emoticon with the little heart coming out.
Fuck him.
Oh, fuck that guy. Fuck that.
He's a little smug. When you read the article, you're like, this is a smug hipster. Because he basically spent 2,000 words going, why is television programming stuff? Why are they trying to appeal to people so hard? Is basically what the what's the fucking television? What's the fucking television?
I think his premise was why are you going after a niche? Right? Wasn't that sort of the premise?
I don't know.
His premise was that he was a dickhead hypocrite. Look at him now.
Well, I can't say that, but I agree with you.
He's nodding. Why are you nodding so hard right now?
Oh, I just have a condition.
It's crazy.
I have a condition. It's called smug syndrome.
Wow.
Where
syndrome.
I have a bit of that.
I mean, it's hard to not be kind of delighted by the fact that someone would
it's hilarious that
copy a thing that they shit on you for doing
in print.
Then not really take responsibility for that. It's funny to me, but whatever. Listen, I don't fault anyone.
But we're not going to sit here and pretend that you invented the Bravo Housewives app.
No, that was
thing,
Andy Cohen.
Right? Okay.
That was 100% Andy Cohen. Yeah,
that guy's copying you, copying that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. But I've never pretended like we invented the.
Well, a little bit to me, you have.
No, I don't think I've ever.
A couple of times.
No, maybe
you wrinkled.
You were like
two times.
I know you created Walking Dead, but I mean, I created after shows about things.
Clearly was doing Bobby Flay there, I think, was the voice that I was doing. It sounded like, well, just sometimes after we make love and we're cuddling.
Are they all going to be talkings? Like, have we just decided on that being the brand? Because it makes sense for walking talking.
I know, but
yeah. I mean, you missed the whole window.
How did Preaching Preacher? Like, come on.
I know. Preaching Preacher or Confession or like. I think it was.
Or Preaching Preacher.
Or Preaching Preacher. Preacher is like.
Or.
No. Yeah.
Confess.
Or Preach On.
Preach On.
No, Preaching Preacher. Preaching Preacher should have been the name of that show.
Yeah.
The reason that we didn't do it that way.
Better Talk Saul. Like, there's a whole world you could have gone into with
but
your titles.
But we want them. But we want them to be all a part of
better,
the same thing.
Better Call In to talk about Better Call Saul.
Fitting that on a graphic.
Yeah, it'd have been great.
We just, yeah, I know that there, I know it's a dumb name for other shows, but we just kind of wanted to keep it all consistent. That's all. Just,
I mean, I get it.
Just so it wouldn't seem like, because honestly, in people's heads, they still go, oh, that's another show. It's like, well, it's really just an extension of the one that we were doing, just about a different show. And I feel
you should have just called it Talking Dead, Better Call Saul Edition.
Yeah, that wouldn't, I don't know.
Essentially what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess so.
If you really want to brand
it. When you create your after show franchise, you can call it whatever you want.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. What?
I got nothing to talk about afterwards. I don't watch anything.
Talking
hey, everyone.
I got nothing to talk
about.
That
episode
about.
Sure needed a fast forward button. Am I right, guys? I'm Matt Myra.
You're welcome.
Now let's talk about Independence Day.
Yeah.
When does it come out?
I think like around 4th. The 4th of July.
I would
July.
Hope it would be July 4th.
Yeah, it's July 4th weekend.
What?
Oh, this is a travesty.
So many people are going to be at the theater that weekend.
Fuck you, Kyle.
Is it because Will Smith still owns that weekend?
I got fired from Buzz before
what?
Then.
What?
June 24th.
Whoa!
Oh! Still not July 4th.
But it's earlier.
Can't
yeah,
wait.
Who opens them? Like, why? Happy. Why one of the? Why the last
Will Smith
week of June
still owns that
is,
weekend? You know?
Is July 4th like a Thursday or something?
Monday.
It's a Monday.
Oh, that's probably
why not come out July 1st?
I don't know.
Whatever. Something else is out there. I don't believe you.
This is why they should consult us when they release blockbuster sequels. Do you want to do film? Do you want to go into film?
Because we can get you in.
Who has the time?
All right.
But, you don't at the moment. But
no,
eventually.
I mean, I don't know. It'd be neat. I guess we'll see. I've got some ideas.
Like.
Well, there's this thing about feet that I've been thinking about a lot.
Happy feet?
Yeah.
but a different... You're going to put like a Christopher Nolan spin on Happy Feet. Just have it be a dark, gritty, realistic take on...
Oh, I'm writing that down.
On feet.
Writing that down.
Your hands are clasped. You're not
I produced that movie
down.
Air. That was good.
Yeah?
I don't know. We'll do more of that stuff.
You're going to do more of that stuff?
Something.
Are you going to go to the opening of The Walking Dead maze at Universal?
Probably.
That'd be amazing.
Because I love Walking Dead. I just want to see some more zombies. I don't know. I mean, I do love Walking Dead. I don't mean for that to be sarcastic.
See, I knew he hated the show, and I knew he hated the fans.
No, I think the thing is, I hate being around zombies. I think that's probably the thing I shouldn't talk about.
You don't like that part.
No, it's terrifying. It's freaking scary. I mean, we did the opening for the maze when they had the temporary maze every Halloween at Universal. Yeah. And I remember we both went through with a camera crew.
Yeah.
And,
oh, I was behind you guys.
Yeah, and I was just like, I'm on film. I have to not be a wimp. Like, this is not fun. Like, I didn't want to be on camera like peeing my pants and crying. it was funny, but wasn't there like an error or something? Because I remember we had to do it twice.
We had to go through a couple times.
And
yeah.
So the first time I was just looking at feet, and
again,
so I'd hear it, and I would just look at the feet, and then I'd look up, and I'd know it was there, and it'd be okay. But then the second time we went through, I knew where all the jumps were.
You know,
I was
even,
like, oh, sweet.
Even when I know where the jumps are, it still fucking gets me every time. And I'm never mentally prepared for it.
I don't like looking at zombies, but if I can anticipate the loud, like jumpy stuff, like I can usually fake my way through it.
I begged AMC to just put a thing at the end of the Walking Dead ride where they just build our set, and then the people can just go take a picture at
what
the
a,
end.
Just an animatronic
an
U.
Yeah.
You just bring Lego U over from the nerd
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna do it. No, it's not surprisingly they're not gonna do it.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I know. That's all right though.
I would have pulled for that. You should have let me know. I could have.
All right. Well, it's too late. Well, okay. We'll do it. Yeah, do it.
Okay.
Oh, that was when we got to walk over to the Hill Valley set.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was a fun night.
That was the best.
But it was the Hill Valley set was what was it? The Ghost Whisperer or something? Or?
I mean, it had been
redressed.
They
built
for that,
over
and then,
the facade of the
Listen,
clock tower.
I got to see all the parts I wanted to see.
Just
it
yeah.
was awesome.
That it was also the Gremlins town, though, too, wasn't it? Am I getting that
oh,
wrong?
It probably was, actually. It probably was yeah. Gremlins town square.
Yeah.
So much history.
Oh, Hollywood.
What are you looking forward to this year?
Gilmore Girls.
Me?
Yeah.
Looking forward to that new Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
I like that.
The new trailer looked very promising.
Yeah, I don't know. I see all people online that are like, it's a Fast and Furious guy doing Star Trek. Boo. And I'm like, what's wrong with
He makes great fucking great.
Yeah, Fast and Furious movies are good. They're
Justin
fun.
Lin's great.
Yeah, whatever. I am. Yeah,
it's like, I have like 400 hours of like intellectual like Star Trek. And I love it, you know. Like, I watch Deep Space Nine still. And, you know, I think it's great. But, you know, you want to show me some exploding Star Trek stuff? I'm there. That's fine.
I do think it's just too soon to blow up that ship.
I will tackle it. Well, come on, it's a Star Trek.
I get it. It's a movie. You got to do it.
He's had to blow it up before. They've had to blow up the Enterprise before.
No. Well, just think about it this way: the years where the ship doesn't blow up are the ones you don't see. When the ship blows up, that's why there's a movie.
No.
So there's Into Darkness, and ship's blowing up, but then.
Because the Enterprise gets blown up in Star Trek III: The Search for Spock. Arguably not one of their best movies.
Yeah, bore me with all the movie trivia you got. Go ahead.
The Enterprise D blows up in Star Trek Generations. Mm-hmm. That's where they bring Shatner and Picard together. And then they're blowing it up in this one. And the track record is not great for blowing up the Enterprise in a movie.
Wait, did they not blow it up in Into Darkness? Did it not blow
no.
up?
No. It got beat
to
shit.
It got messed up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
Did it crash on the planet?
But just those days where they're just like, hey, everybody, let's go have a meal in the commissary. Commissary?
No.
I mean, you know, I could go for some 10 forward. And this 10 forward, right?
And 10 forward and Guinan? Yeah, on the Enterprise D, yep. But I'm interested. I mean, I think there was a shot of a ship that looked a lot like the NX-01 in the trailer.
What the hell are you talking about?
The Enterprise. The original Enterprise from Archer's Enterprise.
Oh, okay.
And they did reference Archer already in 2009 Star Trek. So I was like hoping that it would be they'd have to pull the NX-01 out of mothball because the Enterprise gets destroyed.
I was just excited that cool. I sent you a Star Trek thing that you didn't know about, which is that That's the USS true. Intrepid is having a star is basically like built the bridges of this of Star Trek in of the Enterprise, you know, on the Intrepid. You can like tour it in New York.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to do that for sure.
That's time. Awesome.
So what else, Kirkman?
So what else? Is that how you do your podcast now, Hardwick?
Yeah.
So what else is going on?
Just getting lazy? So what else?
What do you want to talk about?
You excited about Doctor Strange? You think that's going to be good?
I actually am excited about Doctor Strange.
It'll be good. I would never
I like Scott Derrickson, too. I think Scott Derrickson makes good movies. I'm excited about Doctor Strange. It looks like another way in this universe to present a superhero movie in a slightly different way, which I think Deadpool, I think, is kind of the signal of maybe there's a lot of these things and, you know, like the sort of the backlash.
The signal of this
backlash.
Isn't going away.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I think, as like a deconstruction of, you know, superhero movies, Deadpool's definitely a signpost of like, yeah, this is like a genre you can do almost anything with. Because, you know, that's like a hard comedy.
I did also like that in Civil War, it was arguably a small story. Like a small scale story.
That's
like wasn't like the world was ending.
That's the and also when you have that many characters that it wasn't like, oh, this person's doing this thing and then this one's doing this. And like there really was one thing that everyone was kind of fell on two sides of one thing.
I like movies when they're so good and Civil War is absolutely amazing that afterwards when you're thinking about them, you're like, why did Tony Stark fly to New York to pick up Spider-Man? And then fly him back so that he could – what did he do? He, like, put web around Ant-Man's legs. Like, I mean, I guess he was useful, but really?
He's pretty useful.
But what I'm saying is, like, that makes no sense. That makes no sense.
Yeah, but
the movie's so good that you're like, I'm totally – I want him to do that. Like, I don't care about the plot. Like, please go get Spider-Man. Like,
yeah,
it's amazing.
It served the meta purpose of being able to say to the audience, like, look who we got back, you know?
And also
introducing you to Tom Holland, who I thought was great.
Oh, it was great.
Oh, no. Absolutely amazing.
It was
fantastic. I was a little
like
over
– 3 minutes in, best movie Spider-Man ever. Like, I was like, oh, my God, this guy's the best.
Yeah.
And I love that movie. I didn't mean to sound critical
at
all. But there are a lot of big blockbusters. I mean, Force Awakens is another one where you're like, I love every minute of this movie. And then afterwards you're like, Poe Dameron just like just showed up.
He lost his jacket?
Just like showed up. Like he was dead. Did he fall out? Did he like, he's just there.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
And it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of little things in that movie. Right? Like Han Solo just shows up as soon as the Millennium Falcon comes out of the orbit, and you're like, wait, was he waiting there?
Yeah, he was just waiting there the whole time.
I think what's important to remember is that there's a fast forward button.
Ah,
Matt,
okay.
No.
That's good.
What? For Force Awakens?
You didn't as need we say this to people who are probably listening to the podcast on double speed to get through it as quickly as possible.
There's nuance to our jokes. You can't do that.
Chris Hardwick said, what else? And I just stopped listening from that point.
Well, I just want to make sure that you're getting to promote everything that you
I'm supposed to promote things?
You should promote Outcast. Which
it's great.
Outcast is on Cinemax's YouTube channel now, the first episode. And then June 3rd is the... Is that the second episode, or is that
No. June 3rd will be the first episode. You get to watch that again.
Okay.
And then starting, I think, if I'm adding 7 there, June 10th. Is that another Friday?
That checks out.
I think so.
Now, since they put the first episode on Cinemax, why didn't they put the first two episodes on June 3rd? Can you ask someone why they didn't do that?
I don't know.
Because I'm going to register my... It's what?
We're doing a big premiere event. On June 1st, where we're showing the two episodes.
There you go.
Well, that's all the time we have for...
Yeah.
Enjoy your... No. You're doing a fan event on June 10th.
No, June 1st.
Oh, June 1st. You're doing a fan event on June 1st.
So if you want to see episode
it's the premiere,
two.
But I think we're inviting like 2,000 fans or 3,000 fans.
Where?
It's a big thing. At the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Oh, it's the best.
I don't know if this is going to go up before June 1st or not.
Is this going to go up before June 1st?
Hey, it's going up before June 1st.
Yeah.
You're screening
on the side of the mausoleum?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. I've never been to one of those things.
It's fucking great.
But yeah, I'm excited.
Bring a good low chair or a pillow or something.
I think there's chairs there. I think we're going to have our own chairs.
I would double check.
Hollywood Forever, like people bring blankets and like you bring pillows and stuff and you just kind of lean on the ground.
Oh, okay.
So,
which can be uncomfortable.
Yeah, you can be a little uncomfortable after a while, but it's only
Cinemax
an hour.
Will have a chair for me.
Yeah.
They but
then fuck everyone else. Fuck everyone else in the face.
It's gonna be like a big, like 7 foot tall chair that I'm gonna put right in front of the screen
and just block everything.
Yeah. And then I'll project a smaller version of the show on the back of my chair.
And then it'll say underneath, "Cause fuck the fans." is what you'll say. Yeah.
Enjoy that cliffhanger.
Did you learn anything from your experience with the season 6 finale? Like, was there anything where you could take away and go, well, maybe this, or you feel like, no, we did what we did and people reacted the way they reacted and that's it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I mean, modern audiences don't appreciate cliffhangers the way that, I thought they did.
Yep.
Like, I mean, I said it on Talking Dead. Like, I love cliffhangers. Like, I think they're great. Like, any time I'm watching a show and the season finale doesn't end with a cliffhanger, I'm like, I was kind of lazy. You know, like I want to have some kind of, like, big thing at the end of a season that you know, makes me anticipate, like, what's coming next.
To look forward, you know
yeah,
in the fall.
Yeah, it makes me more excited. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm a big fan of cliffhangers. But, you know, it does seem like the way that, you know, people enjoy social media and binge watching and things like that, they're not quite as open to that sort of thing. So it makes me want to do it more.
Well, I hope part of the takeaway is, like, whether you liked it or not, that it's not – it wasn't a slight against fans. It wasn't an attack. The fans are appreciated. Even when you can be irate or emotional, they're still on a basic level. You know, even from my end, I appreciate it because I know that you're passionate. You know, I would only say to people, like, let's have a conversation about the things that you're upset about instead of just attacking, saying the worst things, because that's not going to solve anything. It won't solve. It make you feel better in the moment, but there's this whole other world of understanding. And even at the end, if you don't like it, you know, then we'll go fuck ourselves.
But I mean, I don't feel like I have a right to, like, talk anybody into liking it. You know, like,
not talking, but
also, like, you know, like, that's fine if you want to yell at me on Twitter. Like, I enjoy that to a certain extent. It's fun. And also, if you're mad about the season 6 cliffhanger, that means that you're invested in the show and have been supporting it for 6 years. So, like. That's awesome. You know, like, I understand you're mad right now, but, like, I appreciate the support. And you know, I hope that we're going to do something awesome in the next season and keep you enjoying the show. But the fact that so many people support this show for as long as they have is, a blessing, I guess. And so, even though it's been a fun few months of people yelling at me, like, I still appreciate it. And I still, you know, love them all, even though some of them want me to die.
Sometimes your children hate you, but they ultimately it's because they love you. But but you're right. And I certainly wouldn't try to talk someone into liking something, but I would just want people to have as many facts or try to at least understand, you know, where I'm coming from, where things are coming from.
But I disagree with that, because at the end of the day, it's entertainment. It's not that important. It's you know, they're not going to study it. They're not going to.
They will study it.
They don't need more. No, some people will. Yeah, fans will. But like it's not okay for me to be like, well, you don't have enough information. That's why you don't like that episode. Like, you should have liked the episode because you watched the episode. You shouldn't have to have more information. You shouldn't have to know more to not be mad. Like, it's fine. It's fine if you're mad. It's fine if you didn't like it. You know, like that's. It's just the way it is.
Just shut up and show me your feet.
Exactly. Just shut up and show me your feet. My Twitter feed is going to be so interesting for the next week. I said I didn't like birds on a thing one time, and I just got pictures of birds for like 4 days. Just like I said, I was scared of birds, and I am scared of birds in real life. But
sending
like
birds
not,
with human
I'm not,
feet.
I'm not scared of pictures of birds.
Birds, well, that's some Yellow Submarine shit.
God, now you're this things I love and things I hate together. I just good
you're,
lord,
you're gonna come and cry.
I tell you
again,
more than usual. Can't have one without the other.
But I appreciate it, and I appreciate you coming on and talking about it openly. And I'm sure you're sick of talking. I mean, if you talked about it so much in the last couple months, but
yeah, I'm glad you brought it up.
But I think we should dissect it more. I brought a chart, and
great.
Here's a pie chart and a flow chart of here's a satisfaction survey that I've taken.
At the end of every episode of Outcast, I'm going to do like a half hour think piece on the finale of Walking Dead. So if you stay after watching it, I'll you know, because the whole season is going to air before Walking Dead season 7 airs,
right?
So we'll have like 10 episodes of Outcast to discuss, and it's a new after show I'm doing called Talking the Walking Dead season 6 finale
Outcast edition.
Yeah, Outcast edition. It's great.
Better
if I do a good enough job, they're going to let me take over Talking Dead.
Do you think?
And then I'm on to Preaching Preacher.
Yeah. You could still have Preacher because our show is called Talking Preacher. But we're only doing the premiere and the finale. We're not doing the entire series.
Oh, that's how they ease you in.
Yeah, that's
You're like the television equivalent of just the tip.
Oh.
I liked Preacher, which, you know.
Yeah, Preacher's great.
Someone said,
someone said what?
You corporate.
Why would Seth Rogen say that to you?
I don't know.
Was that a Seth Rogen impression?
I started to, and then I realized I don't know how to do it, and so I bailed right away.
Do
you really want to know the? You really want to know the secret behind it? Yeah, that's exactly what it was. But I thought Preacher was really great, and I've seen 5 episodes of it, and
well, I've only seen the one.
Oh,
that's okay. They don't give me anything at AMC.
You should ask. I'm sure they would give it to you.
Sure they send
I've seen
you,
the
like,
secret seventh season of Mad Men. But
wait, what?
Huh? No.
There's another okay. The secret.
Yeah.
You've seen the episode.
And then the original season 4 of Breaking Bad that they threw away and then reshot.
And then the whole last season of Lost.
Yes.
The real last season of Lost.
Yeah, what'd you mean?
Yeah, I don't know. This is what I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll see you at... Where am I going to see you next?
I think we're doing At Midnight in like 5 minutes.
Oh, you're on At Midnight today.
I'm on At Midnight.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's right. Jonah's on, and so is Will Wheaton.
Yeah, we're recording this before that disastrous episode of At Midnight ended the series. So
Jonah's on At Midnight tonight, and he could not be bothered to get in the fucking door an hour early and do the podcast?
He's been writing for Mystery Science Theater.
Oh, bullshit.
So?
He just doesn't like me.
Can't hop in a car?
That's what it is.
Jesus
He can't
Christ.
Get up an hour early?
Boy,
I think Jonah's overwhelmed by the amount of work that
he
has on his plate.
Boy, he's changed. Yeah. JK, he's the same.
JK, JR, LOL.
Yeah, you can teach him a thing or two about time management, right, Chris?
I'm pretty good time manager, I think. But I do agree with what you said.
Yeah, you're asking me how my day is. How's your damn days
my
go?
Days
like,
are
come
fine.
On.
My days are fine. They're just they're involved, but they're fine.
Yeah.
I mean,
like,
I don't
like my shows aren't about my face.
That's
you know, it's like my shows don't they don't require my face 24/7. So
you know, it's like I want days off sometimes, but then when I get a couple days off, I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah. Video games.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to set up the. I got a Vive, and I was trying to set it up, but all I had, the only PC unit I had was a Razer laptop, and it, I just it, setting up the Vive is no small task.
You don't have people for that, Chris?
I wanted to do it myself.
Why?
Because I feel like I earned it.
Good
you know?
Lord.
I know. But yeah, but I'm actually, I'm getting a, I have to get a full desktop to run it at the frame rate that it needs and everything. But I'm excited. One of these days it's going to be up and running and then I'll get to go play it.
That's great. You had a day off and you spent it setting up a thing you didn't finish setting up.
Oh, I hung out with my fiance too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think that thing I said about time management, I take back.
Okay, I appreciate that. No, I do. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you, Robert Kirkman.
Anytime I can come on your podcast and be critical of you in any way.
Listen, it'd be weird if you weren't.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's you know, it's nice when you say nice things, but I also expect there to be a little jab.
I feel like the nice things are more sincere when I've been mean this whole time, but maybe that's not how it works.
No, that's how it works.
Oh, good.
I appreciate it.
I think you're adorable.
Mr. Oh, Network. Stop it.
Now show me them feet.
Contractually, you're bound to show me your feet.
No, okay, I guess I am a corporate puppet. Look at my feet.
Those are delightful.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. Matt, feet?
What about him?
Can we see your feet?
Yeah.
Kyle?
Yeah,
okay. Nah, I think Chris's feet are the best.
No. I think you need to throw the ring back into the lake of fire, Kyle.
Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
I did.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.